It's time for this week's Message in the Bottle, brought to you by Bangor Wine and Cheese Company at 86 Hammond Street in downtown Bangor. Eric Meehan joins us.
I can't talk over that.
I timed it perfectly so you would be faced with that conundrum.
I'm a new jerk. You can't do that. You got to give me like 10 seconds lead in and then, oh. That's all right.
I thought, look, either way, we'll hear a Jersey legend.
You're adorable. I love you. Oh, geez. I was all ready to talk to you, and then I'm reading. Our president was on the line with the Big Ten commissioner today, and his version of what played out versus the Big Ten is about what you'd think. Anyway, we're not here to talk about Big Ten football, which may or may not happen, depending on who you believe.
Well, they're at the one-yard line. It's going to happen.
Well, yeah.
As soon as the Antifa men get off the plane in their black uniforms.
Oh, it's a beautiful thing. Well, anyway, beyond that, I hope everybody's well. We here at the Meehan household have successfully fulfilled our first day of school for only one of our children, because why would it be the same day for both of our children? But we sent little Eric off and welcomed him back today.
And how did that go?
You know what? Props to Vine Street School, which does not surprise me. The principal there and all the faculty, but the principal there, I don't know what her background is, but I envision her as like a Coast Guard captain or something like that. I mean, she gives me the impression that, like, when she gives orders, she expects them to be followed, and yesterday. And that's the sort of thing we needed. We got there. It was very smooth. I'm expecting the same thing at Fairmount tomorrow with my daughter. I hope I didn't realize that so many of us in the Bangor area, were the exception. I didn't realize that so many of the outlying areas were going, you know, virtual or partial or whatever.
Bangor are trying to just juggle three pathways at once and make it magically work. And again, not the fault of principals, teachers.
No,
they are doing an amazing job. But I will say it as an educator and a parent, what a ridiculous plan this was.
Agreed. But at least... at least from the smile on my child's face today and the eagerness in my daughter's eyes, you know, I'm happy that they're having the opportunity to try. I think they deserve the opportunity to try. My kids are not stupid. They're aware of what's going on. They're doing the right thing, and I think all the schools are doing the best. So it's a strange time. We're all playing the best we can, but... My wishes are with every parent in our listening radius, because it's very strange up here as well as everywhere else in the country. Speaking of everywhere else in the country, as a segue, we are moving this month to for anybody who doesn't know, and if you don't know, I'm just so disappointed in you. But Bruce Springsteen, "I'm on Fire," let us in, which I rudely interrupted. But we're going to talk about California for the next couple of segments as we venture to North America in our world tour. As many of you know me, we'll talk in California about California in general. But of course, as many of you know, in addition, and it's so sad to read the quotes from these winemakers and vineyard managers. They're like, yeah, on top of pretty much everything in 2020, which has been fabulous, we've got, you know, wildfires raging all around us again. So for those of you who don't know, yes, California is once again on fire. Hooray! And in particular, around Sonoma and Napa, which obviously concerns our discussion about wine. The updates, for anybody who is interested, a couple days ago, they actually had a break in the weather, which allowed firefighters to get into some of the more endangered areas. Again, I will stress that their concern is on homes and people, right? Not vineyards, but the point is that they had some progress. And so they're hoping in the wine industry that the damage to any sort of facilities are going to be minimal. That in fact, to date, there's only been two wineries whose facilities have been impacted by this. And vineyards, interestingly enough, for those who don't know, sort of act as a barrier. They don't tend to burn like forests burn and houses burn and stuff like that. So actually, they tend to get more affected by, and this is what people are concerned by, of course, it's harvest season. Harvest has started. And they're worried about what we call smoke taint. So the smoke and ash kind of hovering over and indeed landing in and amongst the vines can cause this smokiness, which is not necessarily, you know, a bad thing. I've actually, on purpose, bought a batch of Syrah one time, which was, you know, cheekily named after the fire, after the sort of smoky quality that it gave. But, of course, you don't want your Sauvignon Blanc to smell of smoke or your Chardonnay to smell of smoke necessarily. So that's the primary concern, at least right now. But fortunately, no major issues have come with any of the wineries yet. I mean, life can change in an instant, but we're hoping that that with the summer winding down, and maybe a little bit wetter weather come September, hopefully they'll ease out of their issues. But that is California right now. California in general, of course, a lot of people have been there, and I say that, but of course, one of the comments I read actually from the director of the Francis Ford Coppola Winery is that the biggest problem has been their lack of tourists, actually, as opposed to any fear of the fires right now, which is, I guess, a good thing to read in terms of fires, but of course, a lot of wineries suffering from the agronomy and agritourism aspect of it right now. But otherwise, people, of course, have been to California a lot. Everybody has their own impressions. Some people love it. Some people think that it's making just nonstop plonk. Tough to know. But there's lots of California under vine. That much is pretty obvious. I mean, from very far north to not only as far south as you can go, but into Baja California in Mexico. There's land under vine. In fact, Baja right now is one of the more interesting places in the sort of California region. Nothing astonishing in Maine right now, but I am very, very hopeful in the years, if not months to come, that we're going to start to see some Mexican wine from that little strip under California of note, which is very cool. Obviously, you have a gazillion microclimates in California. I mean, it is everything you want. In a lot of places, it's not at all what you want, but that's okay because California is enormous. That there's so much interesting land, and people are discovering new regions and new AVAs. That the American viticultural area they're being declared all the time in California. So it's continually expanding. It's very, very cool. And some of the coolest wines I've had recently are from California. They're young winemakers. They're doing things that they want to do as opposed to trying to make Robert Parker happy, which is really cool. Like, this is the first generation of California winemakers that are not, I think, aiming for scores. They're aiming for reality and you know, you know, verite in the bottle, or sort of, you know, I know it sounds ridiculous, but that's the impression I get. I mean, there's always going to be the people trying to just impress people who, you know, smoke fat cigars and have gazillions of dollars. Very, very cool stuff. Can I get a quick time check, sir?
2 minutes left.
All right. Well, just really quick, we'll hit this because we hit it all the time. So I just want to remind people of what made California famous. What made California famous was the Judgment of Paris. It happened in 1976. A guy named Steve Spurrier, who was an Englishman, who was he set up a little shop outside the financial district of Paris, and he hosted this thing. And it's, long story short, he pitted California Cab and Chardonnay versus Bordelaise Cab and Chardonnay from Burgundy, and blind tasting in Paris, all Parisians judging, and California won. And it was a huge scandal, yada, yada, yada. We have California. There you go. I'll finish up by saying, just as I always do, we're welcoming people into the store now. Please wear a mask. If you don't, we're going to be grouchy. But if you don't want to, that's cool. We're still doing curbside pickup, so please take advantage of that if that makes you more comfortable. Otherwise, thank you to everybody who's been coming in. Everybody's been super cool and very considerate. So keep it up. We'll get through this.
Thank you, Eric, and we wish you good luck with first day of school number two tomorrow. And we'll let Bruce sing on the way out to make up for what we did to him at the beginning.
God bless you all. All right, we'll see you next week.
Cheers. See you, Eric. Eric Mann, Bangor Wine and Cheese Company. And we'll let the boss take us out.